So you're a tough guy, like you really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the
title chaser.
Duh.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another edition of Title Chasers. What's going on, Zach?
Not much, man. It's been a hell of a break.
Yeah, we've had a couple of weeks off. It has just been a really busy summer. Zach's getting into BU and doing all kinds of different stuff. I'm getting into a new job position at my work, so everything's just been crazy. But have no fear, because we're back and we're ready to talk about some of the things that have been going on the last couple of weeks, you know, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
One thing in particular, NBA offseason has officially died down. So now we're looking at the Kawhi signing, the PG-13 trade, the Russell Westbrook trade, and some of the moves the Lakers and Clippers have made, positioning themselves for the supremacy of the NBA.
Mm.
So later on, we'll be discussing who has the best LA roster. For me, it's pretty obvious. To Will, well, you know the drill.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
I won't even get into it yet. And then we'll also be talking later on juicing balls in the MLB, if it's bad for the league, if they're doing it, and if what Justin Verlander is saying is valid. And then we'll quickly discuss the Home Run Derby and the U.S. Women's World Cup later on. But without further ado, updates. Kawhi Leonard signs with the Clippers. Now, last time we were on the show, Kawhi was deciding between the Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers. And it seemed as if that he was going to sign with either the Lakers or the Clippers. I believe my gut feeling was the Clippers. And I believe you said the Raptors. So I don't think it was a poor take whatsoever. But he is now a Clipper, gearing up against L.A. Braun, against the Lakers. And he really shafted the Lakers, honestly. Because what happened was he waited to announce his decision with the Lakers expecting them to sign Kawhi just so the Clippers could work out a deal to acquire Paul George. So he had his decision made pretty much by July 3rd or 4th, from what it sounds like.
Yeah, and he just waited and
waited.
He
was like, if you guys acquire Paul George, I'll sign right now. And they were working out the logistics of the deal. And then he announces he signs with the Clippers, and then immediately the Clippers trade for Paul George. And they don't just trade for Paul George. They give up so much. They give up Danilo Gallinari, Shai Alexander, I can't even pronounce his name, Gilgarius. 4 unprotected first-round picks, 1 protected first-round pick, and 2 pick swaps. So 5.
They gave up a lot of assets.
5 first-round picks, 2 pick swaps, essentially 7 picks, and they get Paul George. Was it worth it? That's the question. I think it's going to be worth it if they're hosting a banner, you know?
Yeah.
If they win a title, the Clippers have never made it to the Western Conference Finals, never mind the NBA Finals.
Mm.
And they're easily like the Mets of L.A. No offense to your Mets.
What are you talking about?
My Mets. Your Mets pick for the season.
Mets pick? I never... What?
For the NL East. You picked the Mets to win the NL East.
I didn't pick the Mets. What are you talking
about?
Well,
don't make me go back and foot.
I never, ever picked the Mets. Why would I pick the Mets? What a dysfunctional fucking team, okay?
Well, don't even
never,
get started with
never
me.
Never pick
well,
the Mets, okay? I picked the Nationals before I picked. Heck, I picked the Marlins before I picked the
don't
Mets,
even,
okay?
Oh, you're trying.
At least they've won a World Series in the 21st century, okay?
Oh man, I'm not gonna even fall for your bait, Will. I'm not even gonna fall for your fucking bait.
Okay.
You picked the Mets to go. You were making fun of my Phillies pick all year when I had Bryce Harper, I had Andrew McCutchen, I had JT Realmuto. We had a pitching staff, we had a closer, and your garbage ass team had Thor and Jacob DeGrom, and a 38-year-old Robinson Cano. However old he is, he's old as fuck. That's all I know.
Yeah. Now you see. Syndergaard is awesome. DeGrom's awesome. But besides that, why would I pick the Mets, okay?
I don't know, because you're an idiot.
No. Listen, Zach, listen. Unlike you, okay, I'm an intellectual, okay? Uh-huh. I am a free thinker. Therefore, I know that choosing the Mets is a garbage idea.
Really?
If I were some dope that picked them in the spring, I'd be like, oh, man, they're going to show, you know, a little bit of promise, and then all of a sudden they're just going to choke like they always do. They're like the New York Knicks of the MLB, okay?
Oh, I see what you're doing now. Since your pick was so atrocious and you feel like such an idiot for picking the Mets, as you should feel because the Mets are awful, this is your defense mechanism. You pretend that your reality that you exist in is false so that you don't look like an idiot. I understand completely.
Mm.
It's like those people who don't deny climate change because they just don't want to live in the reality that we're all going to die. That's the reality that you're living in, Will. I don't want to live the life of being a fool. I want to live the life of an intellectual. Well, too bad you're not an intellectual, Will. You're a fucking idiot.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. I have my Samsung wireless earphones in, so.
Yeah, well, first off, we completely went off topic, thanks to you, because you just know how to rub me the wrong way.
What were we even talking? Oh, the Clippers. That's right.
Yeah, the Clippers are the Mets of the L.A.
Well, I don't know. The Clippers don't suck as much, but
for the last 50 years, history wise, they are really bad.
Okay.
They had Donald Sterling. They in the same draft as Dirk Nowitzki, Vince Carter, and Paul Pierce. You want to know who they picked? Michael Olowokandi. You know what he's most famous for? Choking his coach. And not in a kinky way either.
Oh,
PJ
yeah,
Carl Lizimo. He choked him out during practice. Yeah, that was their first pick.
That's lit.
Yeah. And they have they're cursed too. But we'll see. But
maybe this is their year to shine.
Yeah, maybe this is the year that Kawhi blows out his ankle again.
Oof.
Or Paul George injures his leg again, and he doesn't play for the whole season. Because it's the Clippers. They're cursed. The Lakers, on the other hand, if you go into the Staples Center, you forget that the Clippers are even there because they have such an empty amount of banners. The Lakers, on the other hand, they have, what is it? Is that 16 titles? Wow, that's almost as good as the Celtics. The Celtics didn't have that fantastic run in the 50s and 60s and 70s. They would have the most banners in NBA history. In fact, before their recent struggles, they only missed the playoffs five times between 1949 and 2013. Now they've lost. Now they haven't made it 6 years in a row. But they have LeBron.
Think about that, though. 6 years in a row. Last year was with LeBron, who everybody thinks is the greatest player of all time.
But he also was out 18 games against, and he had Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart trying to salvage the team. Those players are trash. Brandon Ingram is not going to be the player that they thought he was going to be. Lonzo Ball was overrated from the start. And Josh Hart is a good but not great player. But now they have this little old best power forward in the game, Anthony Davis, 6'10", 250 pounds, went to Kentucky. And he's matched up with his homeboy, DeMarcus Cousins, who signed on a very team-friendly $3.5 million deal, has something to prove. And we forget that he was also a multiple-time All-Star, was a great defensive presence. He didn't fit with the Warriors last year. But even before he got injured with the Pelicans, before he tore his Achilles, he was a good player. Him and Anthony Davis, that's a hell of a power forward and center position. And you also have Kyle Kuzma. You have Quinn Cook, who can bang threes. Rajon Rondo, who can facilitate the ball. You have LeBron James. Need I say more? If he's not the best player of all time, he's the second best player of all time. You have Avery Bradley, who's a defender. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can bang threes. Danny Green's a good defender, can also bang threes. This team is legit. This team is stacked. Then we move over to the Clippers. They're going to be a better defensive team, but they're not going to be the Lakers. They don't have the firepower.
Yeah, I mean, the LA Lakers have a lot of talent, okay? A lot of talent.
Better than the Clippers.
However, my problem with the Lakers is their chemistry problem with the owners of the team, with the people that run the team, okay? Terrible, terrible relationship that the front office has with their players that the higher level of the Lakers organization has with their players. We saw that last year, okay? And so I think that that's not going to magically go away going into next year.
But
so.
They don't have Magic Johnson anymore. Magic Johnson, as much as he tried to be a good owner, we all know how awful of a president of basketball operations he was. He's out. He's an addition by subtraction. Now they have Rob Pelinka running the show. He acquired Anthony Davis for what I think is a pretty good deal. They got rid of Lonzo Ball, who's probably going to be a bust. Brandon Ingram, who's kind of disappointing. And Josh Hart, who's somebody that is an easy trade asset for Anthony Davis. And picks don't mean much if you're going to be competing for a title. The Clippers, on the other hand, they are blatantly cursed. Like, it's obvious that they're cursed. They had a 3-1 lead in a playoff series a couple years ago, and they blew it. They've blown it multiple times. And anytime they're about to make the Western Conference Finals, there's an injury, and they do nothing. They always do nothing. Which, that's kind of why I'm not surprised that you're picking the Clippers, because you did pick the Mets to win the NL East. So I'm not truly surprised at your abysmal take. Abysmal means bad, by the way. You probably don't understand my big words, but...
Okay, yeah. Now, see, you keep thinking that I picked the Mets, which is interesting, okay? However, you know, if you look at the Clippers last year, they had no superstars.
Yep.
No superstars, yet they still made it to the playoffs. Not only that, but they won, what, 2 games against Golden State?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think now that they have Kawhi.
You're talking about a fading dynasty, losing 2 games, which, how many games do you need to win a series? Oh, yeah,
oh,
4.
Oh, you're saying they're a fading dynasty now? Now, Zach Jameson is calling them a fading dynasty.
Well, they lost Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala. Those are 2 massive players in their recent championships.
Oh, my God.
Now, they still have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, so they're not a team you should forget about, but they are a fading dynasty. They need to acquire more talent. And they need to surround more players.
He's calling them a fading dynasty.
They're rebuilding while they're
contending.
He's
calling them a fading dynasty.
They're doing what the Patriots do. The Patriots, they'll lose some players, but they'll rebuild over the course of the season. You just don't get it, Will. You're thinking in a box. You're thinking 4x4, 2x3. And I'm thinking abstractly. I'm thinking caboose. Bam.
You're thinking in a box. Me, I'm thinking in a freaking octagon, yo.
I don't live by your societal restrictions. I live by my own intuition and heart.
I'm not going to be a puppet in your machine.
I'm not going to be a guinea pig.
I'm not going to be a guinea pig in your hamster wheel.
See, you understand what I'm saying. So, I think the Kawhi move was a huge flex. Just saying, like, Kawhi Leonard holds off the Lakers from acquiring talent. And then he says to the Clippers, if you get Paul George, then you're my guy. And Paul George demands a trade from the Thunder. And then the Thunder starts shopping Paul George. And this is all quiet. Nobody knows about this. No, Woj doesn't know, which is a big deal.
Which is a big
deal. Ramona Shelbourne doesn't know. Stephen A. Smith doesn't know. And overnight, I fell asleep thinking, like, all right, Kawhi's probably going to be a Laker. We're going to have another dynasty. And then I wake up, Kawhi Leonard is a Clipper. Paul George is also going there.
I remember. So at the beginning of the offseason, I just had Woj set so that way whenever he tweeted, my phone just goes off, right?
Yeah.
It went off at 2:30 in the morning that night, okay? And I didn't hear because I was asleep, but I woke up. I'm like, what?
Another move that did that with? Russell Westbrook being traded to the Rockets. I know that they said they were going to shop him after Paul George was traded, which that completely eliminates the Thunder. Now they got CP3, who's 34 years old, has a massive contract. He's getting paid, I think, $47 million this year. And they get 3 future picks. They get so many picks from those 2 trades. And they tried to trade CP3 for more trades. They were trying to get more picks from CP3.
They're just doing a complete rebuild.
But they're doing a good job. I mean, they got 7 picks from Paul George, 3 picks from Russell Westbrook. And if they trade CP3 at the end of the season, they'll get more picks.
Yeah.
He's not the same player he was, but either way. And that matches up Russell Westbrook with James Harden. I was curious what you thought about that move and how that's going to be.
It's going to be interesting because one thing I wanted the Rockets to do was to upgrade in terms of defense. Because they've shown that offensively they're amazing. One of the best offenses in the league. However, they have no defense. I don't think they really improved too much with any of the moves they've made, at least.
I think
they're
the exact same team. They're the exact same
Honestly, team. Yeah.
Russell Westbrook's a little better than CP3. But
they didn't do what I feel they needed to do, you know. And there were plenty of really good defensive free agents out there that they could
probably
have picked up.
They could have given more money to DeMarcus Cousins. He could have went to the Rockets.
Yeah. So,
but instead they get Russell Westbrook. This is more of like a buddy. This is going to be like a what do they call it? The buddy flicks, you know what I'm talking about? Like stepbrothers or whatever. It's going to be the boys back at it cuz they're good friends. They played with each other in OKC, but they don't their play is the same. Isometric ball hogs. The only difference is that James Harden can shoot and Russell Westbrook cannot. Russell Westbrook is atrocious from 3.
Yeah.
And Russell Westbrook is definitely fading. He's not in his prime anymore. He's not going to average a triple-double. Mr. Triple-double is not going to have another triple-double season, which I think is fine because he averaged a triple-double for 3 years in a row. So, you know, as soon as Kevin Durant leaves, he averages a triple-double 3 seasons in a row, which that's an incredible accomplishment. Nobody can undermine that.
Yeah.
My question now with OKC, not only do you have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka on one team and get one finals appearance, one finals loss. You win one finals game with that roster. And then James Harden's traded. They pick Serge Ibaka over James Harden. Bad mistake. And then Kevin Durant walks because their team is trash. They blow a 3-1 lead against the Golden State Warriors. They were one win away 3 times beating the 73-win Warriors. Kevin Durant leaves and joins the Warriors. All right, that was a bitch move. But then they acquire Paul George. Paul George re-signs with them, and then he gets traded. And then they trade Russell Westbrook. And what do they have from it? First-round exits, 3-1 blown lead, 1 win in the NBA Finals against LeBron. Granted, it was against the Heat, but like that team with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, that's a better team than what the Heat had.
Yeah.
That might be a hot take to some, but I don't think it is at all. Kevin Durant, future MVP. Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double. James Harden, future MVP. Serge Ibaka, at that time, was a hell of a defender. And they got nothing. They got nothing out of that.
You were saying the Clippers were cursed.
Yeah, the Thunder's cursed. You know who they gave up for Paul George? Because, you know, Paul George played for the Pacers before that. You know who they gave up?
Uh-oh.
Victor Oladipo, who's an all-star now. Domantas Sabonis. Okay, that was it. Victor Oladipo. Sorry for the climax, boys.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
But Victor Oladipo, who's an all-star now with the Pacers. And Domantas Sabonis with Paul George. So they traded away a future all-star in Domantas Sabonis for Paul George to play 2 seasons and have 2 first-round exits, re-signs, and then demands a trade. That's
beautiful.
That's just pathetic, dude. But back to the Lakers and Clippers, like, you're right. I'm right, you're wrong, essentially. Which is kind of like how the Phillies and Mets were.
Again, don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
Yeah, well,
keep living in your fantasy world. That's
well,
cool.
I have 15 episodes proving how
I might be living in a fantasy world.
I understand that they're 12 and a half games behind and you're officially throwing in the towel on your awful prediction, but I just want you to understand, Will, it's okay to be wrong. I'm wrong every once in a while. You're wrong all the time. I understand. It's nothing personal. It happens to the best of us. I mean, Colin Coward thought Mark Sanchez was going to be a franchise quarterback. It happens. Like, everybody has wrong takes. Unfortunately, your takes are usually wrong. But that's okay, because we're still friends at the end of the day, right, Will? Mm, he goes, that's his I'm not interested in what you're saying voice.
Oh.
I speak libtard. It's okay. It's okay, Will. You don't got to be upset. Regardless, though, other than that, in baseball, like, shit's been crazy. Dodgers have won 67 games already.
Mm.
163 run differential.
Yankees are on fire, too.
Except for
I think that's going to be our World Series, honestly.
Yeah.
Yankees-Dodgers.
Yeah, the Yankees have easily the... Actually, no. Okay.
Have they faced each other in the World Series before?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, oh, yeah. The Yankees and Dodgers, all, yeah, in the 50s, they met a lot.
Okay.
The Red Sox are only one game away from... They're only one game behind the wild card.
Hmm.
Oakland's in it now. What?
Every team except for Seattle in the West is above 500. It's crazy. They're all in wild card contention.
The teams that are out in the American League are the White Sox, the Mariners, the Blue Jays, the Kansas City Royals, the Orioles, the Tigers. And the NL, the teams that are out are the Marlins. Every other team is within 10 games, which is, means that if they get hot, they can probably compete. Granted, I don't think the Pirates, Reds, Mets, they don't have any chance. Especially the Mets.
Uh-huh.
And then the Rockies, Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks, Brewers, Phillies. Phillies. Of course the Phillies are going to be in there.
Mm.
Nationals, Cardinals, and Cubs.
Now, one thing that is pretty interesting right now is the AL Central. Cleveland's catching up with Minnesota now, it looks like. They're two games behind.
They're only two games behind? Ooh.
Yeah, it's a close race now. And I want to know, can Minnesota keep up that dominance they've had practically all year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Which it's funny because I, like, beginning of the season, we were completely dismissing them, but they're a team that can score a lot of runs. They can score a lot of runs.
Yeah, they hit home runs like crazy.
It's because they juice the balls.
Mm.
They juice the balls, man. We all know what they do. I don't know. Honestly, like, I feel like, I definitely feel like, I don't know, because the Indians have a good roster, too. So it's kind of hard for us to kind of pinpoint that, you know?
Yeah.
Forget that they won they made it to the World Series 2-3 years ago, you know? They still have Francisco Lindor. They still have Carlos Santana. And their pitching rotation is phenomenal.
Yeah.
They have good. They have a good bullpen too.
Yeah, it's still an interesting team, but
I think they're a better wild card spot. But I do think the Rays are going to make the wild card
because
They have a great pitching staff.
Yeah,
but they can't score runs though. That's another thing. The Rays can't score runs. They can. They'll have a lot of 2-1 wins, but they'll also have a lot of 2-1 losses.
Yeah.
Oakland. I don't think Oakland's legit. I don't think Oakland's going to be very much at all.
Nah.
Oakland, even if they made it, like, last year they started a pitcher that didn't win any games that year. And yet they had Bob Melvin win the AL Coach of the Year, even though Alex Cora won 108 games. 108 games. You know how many teams have won 108 games? Not many.
Not many. A lot. That is my answer.
There are. I don't have the direct stat, but it's impressive.
just run it off like that. Not a lot.
not a lot.
Slaps table profusely. but yeah, I mean, it's looking interesting. Atlanta just came out of nowhere too in the NL East. They're on fire now. It's awesome.
They have a great rotation. I feel like Atlanta always has a good rotation.
Yeah.
Since like the 80s, they've had a great rotation. When they had Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox, that was filthy.
Maddox.
They
oh
made,
my God.
They won the NL East 15 years in a row. 15. They were the Patriots of the NL East.
Yeah.
That's insane. And now they're gonna win the NL East. Definitely not the Mets, though. Poor Mets.
Yeah, because, you know, the Mets are garbage. Like they've always been historically.
Crickets. That's how many people laughed at your joke, Will. That's how many people. You hear that? Oh, fucking crickets, Will.
Mm.
The Phillies are going to come back. Phillies always do. They have this guy named Bryce Harper. This gig never gets old. We talk about it every episode, but Bryce Harper, man.
And another team that has been on fire this year is St. Louis. After the All-Star break, they came out swinging. They are 55-47. They're tied with Chicago for first place in the Central.
Yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt's been on fire.
Yeah, I feel that.
He played a game, I think it was against the Pirates, and he hit an extra innings grand slam in an away game a couple of nights ago. Really, really awesome player offensively. So
that's dope. Also, Troy Tulowitzki retired. That's a player that goes all the way back to my childhood. That man.
Yeah.
I watched Troy Tulowitzki. Actually, I started getting into him when we faced the Rockies in the World Series that 2007.
Yep.
And then I kind of kept my eye on the Rockies. Granted, they're a pretty average team historically, but Troy Tulowitzki, man, he goes way back, man.
Yeah,
respect for him. He had a hell of a career. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He won't make it in first try, but he'll definitely I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day.
He's a really awesome, awesome talent, and it's a really sad ending, honestly, the way he went out. Just dealing with a lot of injuries and stuff, you know, but
I'm looking at some of his stats. I mean, he doesn't have the Hall of Fame numbers. Like, he only had 1,300 hits, 225 home runs. He didn't have 1,000 RBIs. He batted .290, but he also had two gold gloves. He was a five-time All-Star. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. I'll give him a borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I know he really wanted to play for the Yankees, so he got to play for the Yankees. He gave them two hits and 11 at-bats, so thanks, Tulo. He was a home run in the process. My guy. He's just like, injuries really derailed. He could have been the next Derek Jeter if injuries didn't get to him.
Yeah.
But, oh well. We also had the Hall of Fame. We had the Hall of Fame inductees.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, so like Mariano Rivera made it. Edgar Martinez. Mike Messina.
Holiday.
Oh, yeah, Roy Holiday. Yeah. Lee Smith. Lee Smith, he played... I mean,
Lee Smith,
he was like, he wasn't Mariano Rivera, but he was like the good closer. He actually had the record before Mariano Rivera came along. He had, 470 something. He had a bunch of saves.
Yeah. Yep.
But I mean, he played for the Red Sox too, which was pretty cool. But, I think he's going to come. His head is, the Cubs as it should be.
Yeah. Yep. And then another thing that's interesting, okay, the trade deadline is coming up.
Yeah.
And we have one thing I'd like to say real quick is this is the MLB's version of NBA free agency.
Yeah, it's
I feel like any exciting moves happen during the deadline and not free agency, where with the NBA, it's sort of vice versa.
Yeah.
You know? Because MLB free agency, we've talked about this before, so we don't need to go over it again, but it's a snore fest, okay?
Most of, like, the reason why MLB is not exciting, it's because they make it not exciting.
Yeah.
They do a very poor job of making it exciting at all.
But we have one interesting trade rumor, which is out now, and that's that the Mets are going to trade away Noah Syndergaard.
Oh, thank God.
Who... if you follow baseball at least a little bit, will know that last couple of years, he has been one of the top aces of the National League. He's known as Thor, you know, by Mets fans. And
You know all about that, don't you?
Very interesting player. I, of course, want to see the Red Sox get him, but there are a couple of different teams which are currently in talks with the Mets. First, the top of the list is the New York Yankees. Okay? They're willing to trade any prospects for a player this year, and they are in need of a starter, in quotation marks. another team is the Astros.
Oh, yeah? Who are they getting rid of? Or who are they acquiring? Oh, for Syndergaard?
Yeah, that... It's rumored that they're in for Syndergaard.
No, no, no. They can't have Verlander and Syndergaard. That's not fair. That's not fair. They're not allowed to have Syndergaard. I've also heard Zach Greinke potentially being linked to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Hmm.
And I like that because why the hell is he on the Diamondbacks? What the hell does he have? Why did he sign with the Diamondbacks other than money?
Mm.
He played with the Dodgers, and he was incredible. And then he went to the Diamondbacks, and he's been awful. Granted, yeah. He's older now, but still.
I think one team that the Mets are going to talk a lot, they're going to be talking a lot with in terms of trading Syndergaard is going to be the Padres.
Oh, God.
Because of this, okay? The Mets want to win this deal, okay? So if they trade Syndergaard to the Astros and then Syndergaard racks up 300 strikeouts next year, that makes the Mets look really bad, doesn't it?
I think everything makes them look bad, Will.
Well, hold on. The Padres, okay? They're kind of a mediocre team. However, they have a really, really stacked farm system.
Oh, please don't tell me this. Well,
So if they get good prospects from the Padres and in return Syndergaard goes to the Padres, doesn't perform well because he's on the Padres.
Yeah. I mean, I see your logic and what you're saying, but
in terms of business, I think that's an interesting
move.
As
far as storylines concern, him being traded to the Padres,
oh, it'd be so bad. It'd be so boring, but
that would be like if they traded LeBron to, like,
the Grizzlies.
Okay. Not that bad. It's not that bad.
I think it is that bad. You got to remember, we're talking about the Padres.
Yeah. Be like, I think putting him on the Trailblazers, if they didn't have Damian Lillard.
Mm.
And it's just him. Or, you know what? No, putting him on Utah. It would be interesting for the
ice.
The Jazz have a good roster, but like, yeah, just not an interesting, like, people don't follow the Jazz at all.
Sort of like the Padres.
The Jazz are a lot like the Padres.
Like, the Padres don't completely suck. They're not Miami, but
Miami's
at the same time,
bad.
Nobody cares about the Padres.
Miami's like the Bobcats. Well, I'm sorry, the Hornets. Same thing, just garbage teams.
Hmm. And then a couple more teams that are currently rumored to be in talks for Syndergaard are the Atlanta Braves.
Yep.
That would be interesting because he'd stay in the East, you know. And then the Twins.
Yeah, I would actually really like that deal.
Because the Twins are really awesome offensively. If they could get an ace like Syndergaard, that'd be amazing. So I don't know. It's interesting to see him leave New York like that, and I think it's going to be good for him as long as he doesn't end up in San Diego.
Yeah.
But
honestly, the Red Sox, if they don't make a bullpen move, you can chalk them out of the postseason. They're not going to make the postseason or go very far in the postseason if they don't get an arm.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Red Sox are going to be in talks, too. I don't know why they aren't mentioning the Red Sox, because I want them to try and they should get a starter and add one of our current starters into the bullpen.
If we get Syndergaard, we get rid of Porcello. Porcello is absolutely atrocious. He has been one of the worst signings the last few years for us.
Mm.
Granted, he won a Cy Young, but other than that, $20 million for a 5.5 ERA, that doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
That doesn't cut it at all. Now, when he was in the bullpen in the postseason, he was really good. I think he did a really good job.
Yeah.
We put him as a long reliever. We can even keep Eovaldi in the starting rotation. We have Chris Sale, David Price, Noah Syndergaard, Erod, and then maybe Eovaldi as the fifth starter. Eovaldi as a fifth starter is a good deal. Granted, we're paying him quite a bit to be the fifth starter, but we don't have a salary cap. We don't care. Mm. We're baseball. We have money.
Not only that, but bring Syndergaard to the Red Sox, bring him to Fenway would be amazing. Not particularly for salvaging this season, but going into the next season, okay? Could you imagine starting 2020 with Chris Sale and Noah Syndergaard?
And David Price.
Three aces, three reputable arms, all in a starting rotation. That would be amazing.
Now that has the potential to be one of the best rotations ever.
Mm.
Big take, but like Chris Sale's one of the best left-handers we've had in the last 10 years. David Price is another great left-hander we've had. Noah Syndergaard is one of the best pitchers we've had in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Now, granted, it's kind of hard to see it that way right now because all three of those pitchers are having problems this year. Syndergaard isn't normal Syndergaard. Chris Sale's struggling.
If you have peak Chris Sale, peak David Price, and peak Noah Syndergaard, that rotation is
World Series.
That will at least bring you to the championship.
Yeah.
That'll bring you at least to the ALCS. You'll get past the Rays or the Twins or the, you know,
not only that,
Oakland A's.
You have offensively coupling that with JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, Chavez, okay? If all three of those guys can ball like we know they can, then
Mookie, Bogarts, Devers, Chavez.
This makes me want to play MLB The Show tonight. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's right, baby. I'm going to go home and make this happen.
I'm just going to go build, like, a team, like, custom franchise. Just.
I hope the Diamondbacks trade Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
And I hope we get an arm. I know that Brad Hand is available from the Indians. He would be a nice addition. We just need a closer, man. Why is Nate Eovaldi? We're paying Nate Eovaldi so much money. We can't make him be our closer.
Well, it's definitely a temporary move for now, but
we signed him to this massive contract, which I mean,
well, you see, there was one thing we could do. Okay, there was this top level bullpen arm that was a free agent.
Wait,
right up until
why does this ring a bell?
Who the middle of the season.
Wait. I think I might know who you're talking. Who are you talking about?
It was the Karate Kid, okay? Craig Kimbrell.
Wait, didn't he play for a team last year that won the World Series?
Yeah, yeah. What was the name of that team? Oh, yeah. The Red Sox! Okay?
And what did we do? We got rid of him because we didn't want to spend, you know, $17 million on a closer. Well, guess how much we're paying Eovaldi? We're paying him $17 million a year to be the closer. Really? You wouldn't just sign him? You have so much money. I don't give a... The reason why you have such bad cap is because you have players like Rick Porcello making $22 million.
Mm.
And, you know, I know that Chris Sale is one of the best pitchers when he's healthy and when he's 100% at his peak, but he's been struggling this year. This has not been one of his years. Every pitcher has one of those years where they're just not as effective. I mean, right after Zach Greinke had his great season with the Dodgers, his ERA was 4.3 the next year.
Yeah.
So every pitcher has their up and down seasons. Pedro Martinez started to struggle pretty much after 2003. Pedro had the 1998 to 2003 era where he was like, oh my God.
A top level arm. The
ERA under two, like, what, two or three of those seasons? Striking out like 316 batters, like Pedro at his peak. But then when he went to the Mets, I quote, you know, the Mets.
It all ends with the Mets, doesn't it?
I mean, I'm looking at it. From 90, so when he joined the Red Sox from 98 all the way to 2004, he had 207, 174, 226, 222, and then the Mets, 448.
XD.
And then the year after that, he was 257. Granted, he only pitched five games, but, you know, those five games, he was effective. Then he left the Mets. At least he didn't go to the Yankees, right? Like, he wanted to live in New York, but he didn't want to be on the Yankees. So, good for him. At least he didn't pull a Johnny Damon.
Yeah, he did not like the Yankees.
The Yankees liked him, though. And he just had to call them his daddy. Like, So we also had the home run derby as well. Really exciting. Honestly, the home run. If the MLB had a more interesting All Star game, I think they have one of the best All Star games. But they only have it for like 2 days, and then all the buzz goes away. The home run derby. Everybody was talking about the home run derby after that.
Yeah.
In the middle of the NBA offseason. Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit 91 home runs, which home run derby record 91 up until last, you know, 91 would have been the most home runs in MLB history for the home run derby. He hit it in one night. He's now third all-time behind Jock Peterson and tied with second with, I think it's Todd Frazier.
Hmm.
But he ended up losing to Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso, your buddy from the Mets. First round, Peterson beats Bregman, 21 home runs to 16. Vlad Guerrero Jr. breaks Josh Hamilton's 28 home runs record as 29, destroys Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman had no business being in the home run derby.
Mm.
That's where Yelich was supposed to be. Yelich would have participated. Mm. Chapman was just, you know, fucking stroking his bean. Acuna beats Bell 25-18. Alonso 14-13. Kind of a okay home run derby first round. Second round, Pete Alonso beats Ronald Acuna 20-19. And then they have a fierce battle. Guerrero versus Peterson went on for a bit. They both hit 29, so they both tied the record that Guerrero beat literally the round before.
Mm.
They both hit 29. They both have 8 home runs in the swing-off. They both have 1 home run in the first tiebreaker because it goes, you have another, I believe it's another minute to hit home runs. They hit 8, both of them. And the home, and then once when it gets to the tiebreaker, it's 3 swings. These 3 swings, they both hit 1 home run. And then the second tiebreaker, finally, Vlad Guerrero hits 2.
Hmm.
So they both, it goes 40-39. They beat him 40-39.
Unbelievable.
So it's Pete Alonso versus Vlad Guerrero Jr. At this point, you would think Vlad Guerrero Jr. is juiced. He can't do anything. He's completely swamped. He still hits 22 bombs, and Pete Alonso just hits more. And he loses, but I know that there was quite the reaction from some fans that he didn't deserve to win. At the end of the day, it's the home run derby.
Yeah.
Like, $1 million, granted, for the rookies, for them it might mean more, but it's still $1 million for those players who are ultimately going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, Vlad Guerrero Jr., when he's eligible, will sign a 10-year, $300 million deal, barring injury and poor performance. But honestly, like, they should include a bunting contest, some type of pitching game. Like, the way the NBA does it is, like, they have the three-point competition, the dunk contest, horse, skills competition. NHL, they have the skills competition, slap shot competition, all-star game, rookies game. I wish MLB did a better job of doing that.
Yeah. And they have added different stuff over the last few years. Like, they added the all-star celebrity softball game.
And that's
cool. That's fun to watch because all the players are mic'd up. Mm-hmm. So they'll switch to, like, Snoop Dogg in the outfield catching a ball from, like, Mike Trout or, like, from Pedro Martinez or something.
Yeah.
They have retired players play with celebrities, and it's just, oh, it's hilarious.
I think it's fantastic for the league. Baseball needs more excitement. It needs more ego.
Mm. Not this last game, but last year before that, Drew Brees was in the All-Star celebrity game, and he hit a home run in the right field, and everybody lost it.
They need more stuff like that. But I also saw something in Japan. Their All-Star game, they have a bunting contest, and I think that would be really interesting.
That's interesting, yeah.
That'd be some fun. I think it wouldn't be as exciting as the home run derby. Us Americans, we like power.
We like power. We like dominance.
It's like what this man says. No one man should have all that power. We got all that power.
We got all that power.
Y'all know what it is.
Yeah.
Another thing that stirs some controversy over the course of the past couple weeks, Justin Verlander was asked about juicing balls. His exact quote was, "It's a fucking joke," said Verlander, an 8-time All-Star, who was starting his second All-Star game on Tuesday. "Major League Baseball's turning their game into a joke. They own Rawlings, and you've got Manfred up here saying it might be the way they center the pill. They own the fucking company. They both are their $40 billion company, bought out for a $400 million company, and the product changed dramatically. It's not a guess as to what happened. We all know what happened. Manfred, the first time he came in, said he wants more offense. All of a sudden, he comes in. The balls are juiced. It's not a coincidence. We're not idiots."
Ooh.
So he's saying MLB 100% juicing balls.
So they bought the company that produces the baseballs.
Yeah, and now they're hitting dingers like nothing.
Hmm.
It's fishy, but my thing is it's like, okay, look at the steroid era. Look how popular the steroid era was. What did people like about the steroid era? That people were hitting bombs at a crazy rate.
It was action. Yeah.
It was action. It was excitement. The last 15 years was a pitching era where they had a lot of no-hitters and shutouts and low ERAs and lots of strikeouts. This year, like now in the MLB, it's like you strike out or you hit a home run, pretty much, or you walk. So, like, it adds excitement to the game. People love dingers. I love dingers. Everyone loves dingers.
Mm.
Dingers for everybody. You get a dinger. You get a dinger. We all get dingers. And it's not like everyone's hitting 70 home runs. Everyone's hitting 30 or 40, maybe 50. Rarely 50, you know? So it's not like it looks like the home runs are helping everybody out. And compared to, like, the steroid era where it wasn't the balls being juiced, it was the players being juiced.
Yeah.
They were hitting 70 home runs. Mark McGwire, who was juicing pretty much his entire career, he hit 49 home runs as a rookie, and then he continued to hit. I mean, he hit 70 home runs with the Cardinals. Sammy Sosa, without juice, was absolutely atrocious. He was a terrible hitter, but yet he hit 60 home runs four separate seasons.
Mm.
Obviously, it was because of the juice. And then you have Barry Bonds, arguably the best hitter of all time. With or without the juice, hit 73 bombs. 73.
Hmm.
I think it was good for the MLB. People loved the steroid era. I love the steroid era. I mean, you get these muscled out, Chad-looking dudes hitting bombs. Like, that was great for the MLB. It was so interesting. I loved baseball. Manny Ramirez, like, some really great players. That was like that's a great era of baseball. Lots of excitement. And then the good pitchers of that era are heightened because of that. Look at Pedro Martinez. Pedro Martinez had an ERA of 1.74 in 1999. He had one of the best seasons of all time. With Mark McGwire hitting 70 home runs, with Sammy Sosa hitting 66. All these home runs that people were hitting, and they couldn't get a hit off of Pedro.
Hmm.
316 home runs. Strikeouts, I'm sorry.
Hmm.
Now, are they juicing the balls? I think that there's a case for it. And honestly, like, you can't really confirm or deny it. Obviously, Rob Manfred denied it because it's bad for baseball if they think that, they're juicing it for the advantage of offense. But every other league is doing that. Every other league wants offense. NFL is loosening the rules on, tighten the rules on the defense so they can't really hit them so that they can score more points. Everyone loved that game with the Rams and Chiefs. When they both scored 50 points, it's like that's what everyone wants. It's madness. It's like, oh my God, when are they gonna stop? Basketball, everyone's scoring 110 points a night.
Yeah,
you know, it's good for the league. Offense is good. People want offense. People don't.
But
want
then again, if you're a pitcher, you hate juiced balls.
And what is he? He's the best pitcher of his generation.
Yeah.
Of course he hates it. He doesn't want to have an ERA of 4.
Yeah.
He wants to win another triple crown.
Yeah.
So it makes sense why he doesn't like it, but ultimately, like, we don't care if you like it, Verlander. We like watching it. Sorry, Verlander, you have your stats.
At the same time, I like seeing really good pitching, you know.
And that still happens. They're just hitting home runs at a better rate now.
Mm.
The balls just carry more. That's all.
Yeah.
You still get a lot of strikeouts. You still have great performances. You just, like, there's a better chance of someone hitting a home run than not.
Yeah.
Which I like that.
Hmm.
Want to do one quick shout out to U.S. Women's World Cup. We win our fourth World Cup in 8 total World Cup appearances. They've been doing the World Cup for 20 years now, and the U.S. women's have won 4 of those. We had the most goals scored in a World Cup tournament ever. We had 26 goals in 7 games. We outscored our opponents 26-3. We had one game we beat them 13-0. back-to-back World Cup champions. First time in women's cup history that we had back-to-back World Cup champions. And, yeah, we've won half of all the World Cups. And, yeah, go America. Alex Morgan, I mean, she was fantastic. What's not to like about Alex Morgan?
Mm.
So, really great for them. Wanted to shout out them before we conclude the show for today. But good for them. America always dominates.
Yeah.
Always dominates.
Undefeated. Never lost. Yeah.
So we'll see you guys next week. It's going to be a good show for sure. It's going to be the trade deadline, so we'll definitely be talking about that. I leave. My last day in New Hampshire is August 23rd. So our season will be ending the 23rd of August. Mm. And we will take a short break and kind of figure out where we're going from there on. But we'll still be here for the next month or so. So you'll be able to enjoy our show just a little while longer until we kind of settle in and figure out where to go. But
All right. Yeah. So
we'll be back next week.
Once again, we'd like to thank Concord TV here in Concord, New Hampshire, for giving us an awesome place to record our podcast. Really, really awesome studio. They just hooked this place up with some new microphones, a new soundboard. Place is looking pretty dope. So thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. And yeah, so thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week and have a great rest of your week.